Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. This morning saw the dawning of the South Dakota Cancer Moonshot Summit. Kara Hetland is SDPB's Director of Radio. She's also the host of Innovation, which you can listen to right here every other Friday. She was at the summit this morning. She's joining us in the studios in Sioux Falls to bring you highlights. Kara Hetland, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Happy to be here.
Should I just stop talking and
let you take over?
No.
You ask away because you ask great questions.
Let's go ahead and start with why they're calling it a moonshot. It should be obvious, but some people might not know.
You know, this is, I wrote it down. What did it say? Hang on. I have it. Conquering cancer is the next great frontier.
One giant step for mankind.
Yeah.
The next step.
So they had a picture of an astronaut and then a picture of a scientist on this poster with conquering cancer is the next great frontier was the poster that was hanging.
Hearkening back to John F. Kennedy's goal to put a man on the moon and just declaring it to be so.
And, you know, when President Kennedy, and this was a story told by one of the physicians at Avera, where I was at today, said, you know, when President Kennedy went to NASA and toured and he asked the janitor what his job was there, the janitor looked at the president and said, "My job is to put a man on the moon." So the point of the story is it's going to take everybody to make this goal, this initiative happen.
So tell me about today's summit, and let's start with Joe Biden, Vice President.
He's a little emotional. His son, Beau, died recently of cancer, and he is taking this personally. And he is doing his research, and he's looking into things, and the president has given him the authority to oversee all the cabinets for this collaboration. And he made that very clear. And we'll go to a piece of tape when he talks about the goal of the moonshot is to double the rate of progress toward a cure, to make a decade of advances in cancer prevention, diagnosis, treatment, and care in 5 years. And here is
all across the country, all under a national charge from the White House to do something big, but very possible. Make a decade's worth of progress in the next 5 years. I know when this moonshot was first announced, some said, well, Biden's being naive, ending cancer in our time. That's not what I said. I believe we can make exponential progress. Exponential progress. I firmly believe we can do in the next 5 years what would ordinarily take 10. And think of what that will mean. Think of how many people you know who are saying, you docs who are saying, "Doc, I just want to make it one more month to see my daughter get married. Doc, if I can just make it another 4 months, I'll be able to pay off the house and my wife will be okay when I go. Doc, all I want to do is see my daughter graduate." These are real life things. Time matters. Days matter. Minutes matter. There's nothing antiseptic about any of this. You all know that. We know the problem. Right now, there are 14 million new cases a year in the world, 8.2 million cancer-related deaths worldwide per year. The projections are, by 2025, if we stay in the exact course we're on now, making the progress we're making now, there will be 20 million new cases a year and 11.4 million deaths from cancer alone. Again, this is preaching to the choir, but unlike other diseases, you all know there are over 200 distinct types of cancer that we've identified, which makes cancer far more complicated, a far more complicated disease to treat and understand.
Now, the vice president spoke at Howard University in his room. It was a simulcast, obviously. In his room, there were about 350 researchers, oncologists, care providers, other experts that were there, scientists, the head of the National Health Institute, and all, you know, they were all there in the room with him. And afterwards, and so I was at Avera, and the room, you know, probably about 100, 150 people in the room watching this speech. And then the purpose afterwards is to really talk about what are the real problems and what are some solutions that the federal government can actually do.
How are those people working together? When Vice President Biden is done talking and you hear the Sioux Falls folks, what sort of things were they saying right away, and how do they tie into what the federal government's doing, what people are doing in other states?
Yeah. I'm not exactly sure how the information from each summit is going to get back to the vice president, but I believe that is the goal. That's one question I didn't ask. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you that on Monday, the 5th of July, I am recreating the panel that was at Avera on Dakota Midday when you're taking the day off. And we're going to continue this conversation with that panel. Give them a little bit more time to think about the things that were said. A lot of the problems in South Dakota is, you know, funding, collaboration, and the rural areas and rural access to healthcare. And those are the three big things that the panelists talked about. Do they have a solution? No. But there's another piece of tape of the vice president's that I want to share. He gets angry about how some of the things really happen. And so we'll talk more about it after we listen to this tape.
There is a recognition that by aggregating and sharing data of millions of patients, including genomics, family history, lifestyle, treatment outcomes, we have the potential to find new patterns and causes and successfully treat cancer in ways we never did before. We can now do 1,000 billion calculations per second. It changes the world, potentially, is the what with aggregated data we can learn. Now we have the capability to do it. Advanced technology and supercomputing allow us to analyze enormous amounts of data. To find answers that we couldn't do 5 years ago would take scores and scores and scores of experts years pouring over to find similar patterns. And there's new hope, new treatment like immunotherapies, training the immune system to attack cancer cells, more accurate radiation therapies which target cancer cells but do less damage to the healthy cells, transforming many of the types of cancer into chronic and manageable diseases when 10 years ago they were literally a death sentence. But in my view, to seize the moment, to seize this inflection point, we have to improve how we work together and get this all within our reach. One of the biggest problems we have, in my view, to solve is treatments need to be affordable. We need a strong continuum of generating and using knowledge to fight cancer, and we have to change the entire path, in my view, of how knowledge goes from small labs to pharmaceutical companies to production facilities. And the cost of life-saving drugs are astronomical. We have to come up with a better way. What is the possible justification when a drug, a life-saving drug, is brought to market? At the time it's brought to market, it costs $26,000 a year. And 15 years later, it costs $120,000. Tell me, what is the justification for that? I'm sure you can identify a lot of other examples. And I know there are hundreds of millions and billions of dollars in sunken costs that reveal that actually come up with nothing. They have to be accounted for. But I want to raise some questions here, and I hope we get some answers. When I began the Moonshot effort, I was committed to bringing together all the human, financial, and knowledge resources we have to break down silos, to seize the moment, and to double our rate of progress. But I'm also committed to doing everything in my power to change the culture that too often stifles that project. Quite frankly, we have to change the culture a little bit, in my humble opinion. There was a report in Stat News that although NIH funding for cancer trials requires the funding, when you get the funding, requires the results of that data being reported instantly, the number of institutions that receive the most funding from NIH funding don't report back to NIH in a timely fashion, sometimes a year or more. NIH scientists themselves, 75% of the time, are late or don't report their results. That's the study. I may be wrong, and I hope the experts here will tell me that's incorrect. But under the law, it says you must report. If you don't report, the law says you shouldn't get any funding. Doc, I'm going to find out whether it's true, and if it's true, I'm going to cut funding. That's a promise. That's a promise. Because all it does is slow progress.
If you're just joining us, that was the voice of Vice President Joe Biden. We're talking about the Cancer Moonshot Summit. Kara Hetland, director of SDPB Radio, host of Innovation, is in the studios here with us today. Vice President Biden has some tough words about culture change.
Yeah.
Some tough words about accountability. What do you make of all that?
I think he's going to hold people's feet to the fire because he has a goal, and this is personal. Right? And think of what can happen. If it should take 10 years, what can happen in 5 years? Basically, he's asking for answers, and he's asking for people to explain this. Right? So, you know, I mean, in South Dakota, we have three major healthcare organizations, and collaboration doesn't happen among them, you know, just across town. So, you know, and that's the point one of the Avera oncologists made. He's like, if I have a patient here and they have a trial there, why can't we share? Mm. And so I zipped over to Sanford today as well and asked those questions. And exactly. Yeah. Collaboration is the key. Sharing of information is the key. And if they have different, you know, and the vice president also talked a little bit about having different computer softwares that don't talk to each other. So, and he was talking about his son where he did a test and he was having an MRI and they had to fly the information from one hospital to another to have it read. And he's like, why is that happening in this technology that we have today?
So one of the themes I'm hearing is that when we think about moonshot curing cancer, we tend to go to a new study, a new pill. Mm-hmm. But some of it is just the data we have might mm-hmm. already exist to help millions of people.
Might.
There could be information that we already have. And then giving people in South Dakota access to some new treatments. He talked about new treatments.
Right.
Well, can you get those? And
The money goes to right now to, and Dr. Powell, Stephen Powell, he's a medical oncologist and physician scientist at Sanford. And he's, let's let him talk first and then
sure.
I'll answer
right.
your question. So here's Dr. Powell.
I think they can preach it. I think at the end of the day, just like Biden said, it's his job to break down some of those barriers that we have. And there are a lot of those barriers out there. I think right now, one of the comments that he made, people are rewarded on the number of papers they put out rather than the numbers of patients they've helped. I think that that's a huge paradigm that needs to be changed. You know, one of our key parameters here for research is not the number of papers you put out, but how many patients you're able to get access to clinical trials. And the national rate runs about probably 4 or 5% is what Biden said, and we run around 16% here. And that's something that we value here, and we tell physicians that's what we want them to achieve. And I think that that is something we need to look at as more of a, I guess, a benchmark for research success.
And his point is that, you know, the money goes to the same big hospitals and universities and research centers. Mm-hmm. And while that's great that they, you know, have the facilities to do that, the patients are here. Mm-hmm. The patients are in the Midwest. And I said, so South Dakota could take a leading role? And he said, absolutely. So because get me your information, get me your trial, get me this clinical, and I have the people here that I can help and help you then do more research.
Raising the expectation mm-hmm. is part of this, of what
yep.
is possible. We've all
mm-hmm.
gotten a little accepting, maybe, mm-hmm. that cancer is just going to be part of life, and maybe it doesn't have to be in the same way that we see it today.
I cure is different. You know,
imagination,
and Joe Biden said, you know, perhaps maybe it goes from a death sentence to a mm-hmm. chronic disease,
right.
something that you can manage.
$1 million question. There's an election
mm-hmm.
in November.
Mm-hmm.
Are they ready to continue this work? Because Joe Biden is not going to be our vice president for very much longer.
I don't know.
And he talks about 5 years. How does he continue? Did he mention anything about continuing this work?
No, but there are other organizations that are increasing research funding. Mm-hmm. The American Cancer Society has vowed to double by 2021 its share of cancer research money. So while the politicians may not be in play, mm-hmm. While it may not be a political issues, it has become a priority for a lot of these organizations who have promised to increase funding.
Kara Hetland, I have more questions than answers. So tell us again when you're going
Monday,
to bring the panel.
Monday, July 5th over the noon hour in Dakota.
Tuesday, July
5th over the noon hour. Yeah. We will bring that panel together and continue this conversation. So any questions, send them my way.
All right. How would people send you a question if they were listening today?
Kara at KaraSDPB on Twitter would be the best.
There you go. Send your questions our way, and then that panel, tune in for sure. Kara Hetland is the director of radio for South Dakota Public Broadcasting, host of Innovation. Thank you for joining us today with that.
You're very welcome.